This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala al-ma'uthi rahmatil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. اليوم 18 من شهر ربيع الأول 1443 الموافق ل 25 من شهر أكتوبر 2021 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, inshallah, we move on to the place where the muallif is answering a question about the shirk that some people are doing with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To them, they are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contrary to what we believe in. You know, they will tell you that, no, we just believe that we are incapable of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And as such, we have to put somebody between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send our righteousness and act of worship to Allah. So we worship that one so that he can extend our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is so pure and clean, we cannot approach him directly. So this is what some people might be saying. So Ibn Qayyim is going to give an answer to this question because it's absolutely wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to put any barrier between you and him, an intermediary, somebody who you worship, and then that person will take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not how we approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim says, فَنَقُولُ وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ وَالتَّأَيِّيدِ. And also we will say inshallah, believing that tawfiq is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to say the correct thing, and also the support is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْهُ نَسْتَمِدُّ الْمَعُونَةَ وَالتَّسْدِيدِ. And from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we seek the support and also the correctness, you know, to do things that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted in the correct way. So he says, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of tawfiq, and also he is the only one who can grant you ability to be musaddad in whatever you are doing. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَهَدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُذِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُذْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَلَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَى وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعَ. He says, because whoever is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can misguide him. And whoever is misguided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody has the power and ability to guide him. So the guidance is in the heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets somebody go astray, nobody can bring him back. That's why he says, وَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ فِتْنَتَهُ فَلَنْ تَمْلِكَ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to test a person, he cannot benefit that person. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that he will test a person, nobody can benefit him. Subhanallah. قَالَ وَلَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَى وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعَ. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, nobody can stop it from reaching that person. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not decree that a person will get something, there is no way for you to get it. قَالَ الشِّرْكُ نَوَى شِرْكَانِ. You see, there are two types of shirk. شرك يتعلق بذات المعبود وأسمائه وصفاته وأفعاله وشرك في عبادته ومعاملته. There are two types of shirk. Shirk that is related to al-ma'bud, you know, the one that you worship, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأسمائه, his names, وصفاته, and his attributes, وأفعاله, and his actions. And the other type of shirk, which is not related to the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah himself, but it is related to our activities and the dealings, you know, the way we deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ كَانَ صَاحِبُهُ يعتقد أنه سبحانه وتعالى لا شريك له في ذاته. You know, although he might find that person will be believing that, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a partner في ذاته. Allah doesn't have any partner. He accepts this. You know, he himself, he has no partner, but when he worship him, he brings somebody else and put him as a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that act of worship. وإن كان صاحبه يعتقد أنه سبحانه لا شريك له في ذاته ولا في صفاته ولا في أفعاله. So that person who is doing this shirk in the ibadah might believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have partner, he's alone. But unfortunately, when he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he attributes a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال والشرك الأول نوعان. And the first type of shirk is also divided into two categories. Number one, شرك في التعطيل أو شرك التعطيل. قال أحدهما, the first one, you know, now we're talking about شرك, الشرك في 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 ذات المعبود الذي يتعلق بذات المعبود. So he said this one also is categorized into two categories. Number one is شرك التعطيل وهو أقبح أنواع الشرك. شرك التعطيل is to negate the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to negate his sifat, or to negate his name, or to negate his action. To believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist, or he doesn't have name, or he doesn't have, you know, sifa, you know, or he doesn't act, you know, in the way he said he does. You know, this is shirk al-ta'dil. And Ibn al-Qayyim says this is the worst type of shirk. كشرك فرعون, just like the shirk of Fir'aun. إذ قال وما رب العالمين. Because Fir'aun, when he was talking to Musa, he was even questioning the possibility of having somebody in existence who is called Rabbul Alamin. So when Musa called him upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, what are you talking about? وما رب العالمين. What is this Rabbul Alamin that you're talking about? And it's subhanAllah. Very critical questions, but he met somebody who has the jawab, you know. Musa answered him through the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what he has. قال ما رب العالمين. He asked him, what is the رب العالمين? قال رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إن كنتم موقنين. He told him, the one who created the heavens and the earth and anything that is in between the heavens and the earth. Yeah, for sure he lives, you know, in this life, and he has seen at least once the heavens and the earth, you know. You see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the best, you know, alamat and signs that confirm to anyone who thinks wisely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does exist. So Fir'aun knows that actually, because Fir'aun is not denying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. He knows. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. They deny the existence of Allah. They deny the fact that there is none to be worshipped except Allah. They deny, you know, anything that is related to the Tawheed. Out of what? Out of arrogance. Not because he doesn't understand. Not because he's ignorant. No. He knew exactly what he's doing. That's why he says to Haman, اجعل لي صرحا لعلي أطلع إلى إله موسى وإني لأظنه من الكاذبين. The next ayah here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وقال تعالى مخبرا عنه أنه قال لهامان. He told Haman, the second person in that authority of evil. So that second person was told by Fir'aun, قال فرعون يا هامان ابن لي صرحا ابن لي صرحا لعلي أبلغ الأسباب. He asked Haman to make a tall building. A sarh is ibarat an al-bina al-aali. You know, tall building like a ladder, stairs, or something that he can climb on top of it. Use it as a sabab. You know, asbab as-samawati fattali ila ilahi Musa. You know, he said, I want to go and see what is this ilah Musa, you know, the ilah that Musa is talking about. Who is he? You know, yeah, how does he know that he's in the heavens? You know, how does he know? His nature confirms to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be here. His nature confirmed to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does exist. That's why he said, لَعَلِّي أَطَّلِعُ إِلَىٰ إِلَىٰهِ مُوسَىٰ وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And he has been seeing signs and ayat and the calamity that is taking place in the community where he is leading. And he knew that these are all from the one that Musa is talking about. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf that whenever something comes, they will go to Musa and tell him, لَنُؤْمِنَنَّ لَكَ وَنَنُرْسِلَنَّ مَعَكَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ لَإِنْ كَشَفْتَ عَنَّ الرِّجْزَ لَنُؤْمِنَنَّ لَكَ وَنَنُرْسِلَنَّ مَعَكَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. If you are going to remove this calamity and the problem that we are suffering from, we will trust you and we will accept you and we will let the children of Israel to go with you. So he knows about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, but he was just denied. That's why Musa told him, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You know 100% that nobody is in charge of revealing these signs, you know, and the ayat and whatever I'm bringing to you, إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, except the creator of the heavens and the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. They deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, their heart is full of faith and belief in that which Musa is talking about. How do you know this? Look at the history. Look at his statement. He will confirm this that I'm saying to you. And also, look at the last part of his life, Fir'aun. Allah says, وَجَاوَتْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَتْبَعُهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا وَعَدْوًا حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we led the Bani Israel to cross the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa, as you already know, to hit the sea with his stick. Allah says, فَانْفَلَقَ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. So Musa was able, he and the children of Israel, to cross the sea. And then فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا وَعَدْوًا. Fir'aun, out of arrogance, you know, he should think. But subhanAllah, لَعَمْرُكَ مَا الْأَبْصَارُ تَنْفَوْ عَالَهَا إِذَا لَمْ نَكُنْ لِلْمُبْصِرِينَ بَصَائِرُ. You know, no matter how much strong is your eyesight, it will never benefit you as long as the basira is taken, you know. Fir'aun knows that this is not normal to have a sea being split into two pieces and somebody just walking just like that, you know. But subhanAllah, Allah took away the basira so that this will be the end of the arrogance, you know. You get inside. Allah says, حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Until the time he perceived death, he was about to drown, to die. قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. When he realized that, خلاص, that's the end, he said, I believe in that which the children of Israel believe in. وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And I am among the Muslims. So you can see, now when he realizes the fact, you know, and he sees the reality, the haqq, you know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ. He realized that no more jokes now, you know. So he decided to see how he can save himself from the tragedy of the future, which is the hereafter when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But subhanAllah, it was too late, you know. It was too late. Jibreel alayhi salam said, I was trying to stop him from saying the kalimatu shahada, hatta la tudrikuhu rahmatullah, so that he will not get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time also, it was too late. Allah told him, al-an, only now you are reflecting, وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. You know, so that's kind of shirk, shirk al-ta'atil. This is what Fir'aun was engaged in. And to have somebody who is having this, in reality, is not easy. Because it is totally against the natural disposition. And going against our nature is not easy. You know, a person might say it verbally, but his heart will never agree with that which the tongue is uttering. From time to time, you might see him confessing with the truth. قَالَ وَالشِّرْكُ وَالتَّعْطِيلُ مُتَلَازِمَانِ. There is no way for you to have shirk without ta'atil. That is shirk which is based on ta'atil itself. And at the same time also, all the other types of shirk, you know, they also have some kind of ta'til in them. Ta'til is to negate, to reject the existence of something. قَالَ فَكُلُّ مُشْرِكٍ مُعَطِّلٌ He says, every mushrik is mu'attil also at the same time. وَكُلُّ مُعَطِّلٍ مُشْرِكٍ And every mu'attil is mushrik. وَلَكِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَا يَسْتَلْزِمُ أَصْلِ التَّعْطِيلِ بَلْ قَدْ يَكُونُ الْمُشْرِكُ مُقِرًّا بِالْخَالِقِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَلَكِنَّهُ أَطَّلْ حَقَّ التَّوْحِيدِ But shirk itself, it doesn't necessarily mean the root of the ta'til exists. You might find a person who is mushrik, but at the same time, he really believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does exist. And even if you're going to kill him, he will never agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a partner in terms of existence and creation. He will tell you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone. But unfortunately, instead of making him alone in all aspects, he attributed partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right of the Tawheed. So he negates the right of the Tawheed, then he is called mu'attil in this regard. قَالَ وَأَسْلُ الشِّرْكِ وَقَائِدَتُهُ أَلَّتِي يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهَا هُوَ التَّعْطِيلِ He says the root of the shirk, the main principle and the basis of the shirk, which almost every shirk goes back to it, is ta'til. You know, ta'til here, we mean you are taking away the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His right from Him. And that's the ta'til. وَهُوَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامِ ta'til al-masnu' an sani'ihi wa khaliqihi. And this ta'til is of three types. Number one, to negate al-masnu' and sani', to disconnect between the sani' and the masnu', you know, to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't create this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't create this. So that's why, as a Muslim, you should understand the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When you understand that al-Rabbu, they say al-Khaliq, al-Malik, al-Mudabbir. عالمين والعالم كل من سوى الله عز وجل. عالم is anything other than Allah. Then you will understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and anything other than Him is created by Him. Then life will become very easy. This is Allah, the creator of everything, and whatsoever is not Allah is created by Him. And in this life we have only two things. Allah and those whom He created. So either Allah or those whom He created. Whatsoever is not Allah is created by Allah. And you will be staying away from all sorts of shirk in this regard. So the first one is to have somebody who believes that there is something which is not created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَعْطِيلُ السَّانِعِ سبحانه وتعالى عن كماله المقدس بتعطيل أسمائه وأوصافه وأفعاله. The second type is to disconnect between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His sifat. يعني to separate between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His sifat. يعني He doesn't have this sifat, He doesn't have this sifat, He doesn't have this action, He cannot do this, He can do that, you know, subhanAllah. Now, those people, they just think that we, the human beings, we are the one who will make a decision what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do and what He cannot do. SubhanAllah. You will see a person will sit down and teach his students or will fill the mind of others, you know, with all of these rubbish things, you know. Thinking that this one can be done by Allah, but that one cannot be done. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself with the most merciful, they said, no, we cannot describe Him with mercy because these are weaknesses. SubhanAllah. Most likely, Ibn Qayyim is going to address this matter. But we have to be very careful. Nobody knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than Himself. We are not the one who are supposed to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what to do and what not to do and to inform others of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do and what He cannot do. سبحان الله تعالى الله أما يقولون علوا كبيرا قال وتعطيل معاملته أما يجب على العبد من حقيقة التوحيد and also the last category is to you know that person mind agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and he has sifat, but then when it comes to approaching him in terms of righteousness and worship, he doesn't think that he is alone that is supposed to be worshipped. And you have this also even in the Muslims, you know. There are some people who believe that there are some people amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. There are some people who believe that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can do. Even after he dies, there are things which he can do. When he was alive also, they think he can do everything. Whether he's dead or he's alive, he can do everything. You can just approach him and that will be the end of it, you know. SubhanAllah. One of them was saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam earned the knowledge of the kawn. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَا أَمْلُكُ نَفْسِي نَفْعَنِ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know ghaib. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. But those one will tell you, no, he does know the ghaib, you know. SubhanAllah. So you might find them asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, sometimes they go to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They invoke Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They ask him, he himself, his person, to give them that which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. So this is shirk fi mu'amalatillahi azza wa jalla. If you ask that person, he will tell you, no, Allah is alone with no partner. But at the same time, he make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what shows that the responsibility of the student of knowledge is really great. And also people should adopt leniency and softness and gentleness. You know, because many of these people, they grew up in a community which almost everyone is agreeing with this. So you need to be soft and gentle. You need to be kind. You need to explain to them with wisdom, you know. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open their heart to understand what you're talking about. But those people who attributed who put the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, they will have their own mahkamah being established between them and the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. One of these statements they are talking about is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a knowledge of the kawn, you know, and knowledge of lawhul mahfuz, you know. One of the scholars said, what did they leave for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nothing. A dunya is for him. He gives dunya, he gives akhirah. And yani, subhanAllah, I don't know, you know, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are they talking about? Is it the one we know or somebody else? Because the one we know, he's not like that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called upon Fatima, his daughter, and he said, Ya Fatima bint Muhammad, salini mimma li ma shi'ti fa inni la ughni anki min Allahi shay'a. He says, Ya Fatima, ask me from my wealth whatever you want. But you have to know that I cannot benefit you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. You have to do it yourself. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give dunya and the akhirah, you know, how is it possible that his uncle Abu Talib went to hell? Now, all of these things can confirm to you that you really have to be very careful. Take knowledge from its right source. You know, not everyone should close your eyes and take from him, but open your eyes and make sure that you are taking from the right source. ومن هذا الشرك طائفة ومن هذا الشرك طائفة أهل وحدة الوجود الذين يقولون ما ثم خالق ولا مخلوق ولا هاهنا شيئان بل الحق المنزه هو الخلق المشبه. أعوذ بالله. He says one of these shirk is the shirk of أهل وحدة الوجود. وحدة الوجود. There are some people who believe that everything is Allah. Everything is Allah. And this is what Ibn Qayyim is mentioning. They will tell you that there is nothing in existence which, I mean, we don't have two things in existence. We have only one. We have only one. You know, the one that you are trying to negate every bad quality from him, he is the same one that, I mean, al-ma'bud huwa al-'abid, you know. This is what they're trying to say in the last part of the statement. Al-ma'bud huwa al-'abid. The one who is worshipping huwa ayn al-ma'bud is the ma'bud itself, the one who is worshipped. So you have some people who believe that nothing in existence except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said a wahdatu wujud, you know. SubhanAllah. That's the one that al-Hanafi says they're worse than the Nasara, because at least Nasara restricted the uluhiyya to three. You know, they're even worse than the Majus. Actually, Majus restricted it to two entities, you know. Christian says three, you know. But those one, they said everything is Allah, you know. And they still call themselves Muslims. They said everything is Allah. And don't go too far, you know. This is not an aqidah that exists in the past. No, it's still in existence, you know. I was watching a clip where somebody was just sitting down there. If you see him, you see a majnoon. بِكُلِّ مَا تَعْنِهِ كَلِمَةُ الْجُنُونَ. If you see him, you see a majnoon. Majnoon means an insane person. And I'm actually sorry to call him insane, because the insane people also might protest, you know. Why am I putting him to them, you know? But this guy, the people surrounding him, they are calling him Allah. They say he is Allah, they are Allah, and everything is Allah, you know. SubhanAllah. So we still have these type of lunatic fringes in our own communities. That, as I said, it shows how, you know, strong is the need, you know, for the student of knowledge to engage in the da'wah with the wisdom. وَمِنْهُ شِرْكُ الْمَلَاحِدَ الْقَائِلِينَ بِعَدَمِ الْعَالَمِ وَأَبَدِيَتِهِ وَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعْدُومًا أَصْلًا بَلْ لَمْ يَزِلْ وَلَا يَزَلْ وَالْحَوَادِثُ بِأَسْرِهَا مُسْتَنِدَةٍ عِنْدَهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَسْبَابٍ وَوَسَائِطَ اِقْرَضَتْ إِيجَادَهَا وَيَسَمُّونَهَا بِالْعُقُولِ وَالنُّفُوسِ. He's referring to the atheists. They say also a kind of type of shirk whereby these people, they tell you that there was no time where this alam, the universe, is not in existence. They say this, it was there. There was no beginning for it, and there was no end also for it. And whatever you see taking place in this life is just, there are causes which exist in the system itself. Not because somebody brought it, you know, the system itself is containing these causes, you know, of things to exist inside it. So he's referring to the atheists. You know, the aql, according to them, the aql is guiding them to believe in this, you know. وَمِنْ هَذَا شُرْكُ مَنْ أَطَّلَ أَسْمَاءَ الرَّبِّ تَعَالَى وَأَوْصَافَهُ وَأَفْعَالَهُ مِنْ غُلَاتِ الْجَامِيَةِ وَالْقَرَامِطَةِ. And you have some people who went out of their brain, you know, out of their mind, to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have even names. You know, that was the strangest thing, you know. You have the Jahmiyyah, they don't even agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a name. SubhanAllah. They will tell you, they agree that he does exist, but he doesn't have a name. And for sure, if he doesn't have a name, according to them, he does not have attributes. So Ibn Qayyim says, of this type of shirk, shirku man attala asma' al-Rabb, the person who negated the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his names, you know, and also of a'alahu, they don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acts. So why is he doing Allah? So these are the Jahmiyyah, Atba'u Jahm bin Safwan, wal Qaramita. Al-Qaramita is type of Shia, Ifraqa min al-Shia, min aswa anwa' al-Shia. They are the one who stole the black stone in the Kaaba for 20 years, it has been with them. فَلَمْ يُثْبِتُوا لَهُ إِسْمًا وَلَا صِفَةً. They don't agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a name, and they don't agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an attribute. بَلْ جَعَلُوا الْمَخْلُوقَ أَكْمَلَ مِنْهُ. According to them, even the creation is more complete than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more perfect than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ كَمَالُ الذَّاتِ بِأَسْمَائِهَا وَصِفَاتِهَا. Because how do you know that this person is perfect when it has a name and it has attribute? When you say so-and-so person is noble, why do you describe him with nobility? Because of his attribute and manners. He acquires certain attributes and good manners, and as such you call him a noble person, a good and a righteous person, because he has those excellent attributes and manners. So if you say Allah SWT doesn't have names, doesn't have attributes, what are you talking about? Does he even exist? That's why Ibn al-Qayyim says, Al-Mu'attilu ya'abudu adama. Ibn al-Qayyim says, the one who is negating Allah from his sifat is worshipping nothing. Because la yujad fil wujud shay'un bidun sifat. There is no way for you to have something which is out of imagination. Imagination can imagine everything. Useless, bad, good, you know. Imagination can imagine anything. Do you get idea? But in reality, to have something in existence, you know, not inside the imagination, you know, I'm talking about their imagination, not inside imagination, something that exists with no sifa, this is not possible at all. This is not possible at all. To say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists but he doesn't have any sifa, that's a joke. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim says they are equal to somebody who does not worship anything. These ones are not worshipping anything. You know, because what they claim to be worshipping doesn't exist, you know. Yeah, because there is nothing in reality with no sifat. قال فصل والنوع الثاني. So this is the first type of shirk, right? The shirk that is related to the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his sifat and his af'al, you know, and his names. The second type of shirk is shirku man ja'ala ma Allah ilahan akhar wa lam yabtil asma'ahu wa sifatahu wa rububiyatihi. Is the shirk of somebody who attributed, you know, who takes the qualities of Allah SWT and give it to somebody else. They say Allah SWT has those sifat, but there is somebody who shares with him the same thing. كَشِرْكِ النَّصَارَى الَّذِينَ جَعَلُهُ ثَالِثَ ثَلَاثَ. Just like the shirk of al-Nasara, those people who believe that he is one of the three. That concept which they themselves also don't know what they are dealing with, you know. Allah, Sadaq Allah, when he described Nasara as Dallun. Allah, maybe the companions of the Prophet ﷺ did not understand what we understand. But if you look at the Christian community nowadays, you will understand why Allah SWT called them Dallun. You know, that community is really messy, you know. Religion becomes something they just utter by their tongue. It doesn't reach the heart. And that's why they like it so much, because there is no restriction. You do whatever you want. The priests themselves, also those people who are supposed to be preaching, how many times they were convicted, you know, corrupting young children, young girl, you know, having all of these illegal relationships in the places of worship itself. Now, to mention the other corruption also, that the huge amount of money that has been generated, and many of them using magic and all of these things, subhanAllah. And all for what? Going to their place once in a week to sing songs, you know. That's how it is, you know. They're really dhalloon. When you look at that, the community where Christianity is set to be in existence, you will see that this community is going to be really messy. No control at all. The Bible, you know, we don't believe in that to be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the Bible is saying something, you know, and they are doing something else. Okay, they're what they believe to be their religion, they don't take it, you know. So Sadaq Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken the truth, as he always does speak the truth in every statement. And this is the most and the best description that fit the Christian, Dallun. Dallun means somebody who went astray. Why? Because they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with jahl, with ignorance. Contrary to the Jew, they know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and they know what to do, and they know the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they believe that these prophets are coming with the truth. They have the knowledge, but unfortunately they refuse to follow. That's why they receive nothing but the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, al-firqatan, both sects, you know, they are maghdubun alayhim, they are also dhalun at the same time. The scholars said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing each and every one of them with the sifa that fits him more than the other one. Those ones, they deserve the ghadab of Allah because they have the knowledge and they hid it. And those ones, they deserve the wasf, the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them with the dhalal, because they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the knowledge. They keep the knowledge aside and they use their own uqul to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the wrong way. So that's where you have these concepts in Christianity, which I don't think even the Pope can explain it to you, like this one, Trinity. And to the extent of my little knowledge, this Trinity, they forgot even to even put it in their book, you know. They believe in it. This is the essence of their faith. Without it, you cannot be a Christian. But then, at the same time, it doesn't even exist in their book, you know. They forgot to put it inside. Because it's not part of Injil. It was introduced to them by one of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the Jews. They corrupted their religion. And those guys just come out of ignorance and just follow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. So they have this concept of Trinity, you know, the Trinity, you know, the Trinity means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jibreel alayhi salam and Ruh al-Quds. Ruh al-Quds and also, Allah and Isa alayhi salam and Ruh al-Quds. And they will tell you these three are one. Anyone in the primary school knows that when you have three entities, these are three, you know. So 1 plus 1 is 3, but to them is 1. They have so many explanations which they themselves also do not understand, you know. They themselves also don't understand that which which they are talking about. They don't understand it, you know. But they will tell you at the end of the day, just believe. Yeah, just believe. It's just about faith, you know. It's just about faith. You're not supposed to question. You just believe, you know. Whatever you are told, just accept it and believe in it. So if you know you cannot explain it, why do you introduce the concept at the first place, you know? And read their books also, what they forgot to fix, you know. I don't know whether they modify it, because they always modify the book. But you see a lot of contradictions, full of contradictions. They keep something which they introduce by themselves, they forgot to modify the other one so that it can match with this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ إِنَّ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. So the shirk of al-Nasara, when they say ثَلُثُ ثَلَاثَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the three. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَلُثُ ثَلَاثَ. Those who believe that, those who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the three, they are kuffar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them kuffar. Nowadays we have some modifications by some, you know, some of the Muslims who will tell you that no, we cannot call them kuffar. We don't call them kuffar, you know. SubhanAllah. Allah called them kuffar. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثَ ثَلَاثًا فَجَعَلُوا الْمَسِيحَ إِلَهًا. So they make a Masih, Isa ibn Maryam, إِلَهًا. They make him إِلَه also. Somebody who deserves to be worshipped. وَأُمَّهُ إِلَهًا. And they make his mother also ilah. Another denomination says Jibreel, another one says Maryam, alayhi salam. So his mother also is Allah, and his mother is ilah, Isa also is ilah, and Allah is ilah. How does Isa, alayhi salam, get inside? You know, they will tell you, yeah, because he's the son of Allah. They forgot in their book to delete that Allah, they forgot to delete that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls some people also son of Allah, sons of Allah. Okay, this is just what they call a metaphor. you know, it doesn't mean a son of Allah. Literally, it means a slave of Allah. It means a slave of Allah. That's why Ibn Qutaybah says, Nasara ballu, when they couldn't understand this type of majazat, you know, ballu, when they see the way it is used, they forgot to realize that people speak in this way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used these kind of phrases also. So they went and attribute divinity to Isa alayhi salam and his mother. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them kuffar. So they will tell you that, yeah, Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah. So who is the mother? Maryam alayhi salam. Okay, when somebody asked them, okay, what does that mean? Are they married, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Maryam? They will tell you, no. This is a very wrong, you know, understanding. You know, you cannot ask, you cannot talk like that. But what do you mean, you know? What do you mean? He said his mother is, his father is Allah, his mother is Maryam. So what does that mean? SubhanAllah. So that's why, I'm bringing this so that you can understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them dalloon. Somebody who went astray, somebody who is flying in the haze, they don't know exactly what that they believe in. You know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salamu wa ta'ala, afiya wa al-hidayatu wa tawfiq. ومن هذا الشرك المجوس القائلين بإسناد حوادث الخير إلى النور وحوادث الشر إلى الظلمة. And it is also part of this, the shirk of the Majus. Majus, these are the fire worshippers, those people who says that whatever happened that is good, this is from Ilahun Nur. They have two types of Ilah. One of them Ilahun Nur, one of them Ilahun Dhulma. So any good that happens to you in your life, they said this is from the Ilahun Nur. And whatever calamity that takes place in your life, they say this is from the Ilahu of Dhulma. That's why they say light is created by Ilahun Nur and Dhulma is created by the Ilah of the darkness. That's why the poet says, he says, any ni'mah that you get at night, it is actually and indirectly telling you that al-manawiyyatu takdhibu. Al-manawiyya, these are the majus who says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a partner and there are two ilah, one of them ilahun nur, one of them ilahun dhulma. Because according to them, there is no way for you to get a good thing at night, because night is evil. You know, it's created by what they call the god of evil. So this poet says, come on, how many times we see that people getting blessings at night? A lot of things taking place at night. He said each and every one of these blessings are telling you that those guys are lying in whatever they believe in. And that's absolutely correct. قالوا من هذا شرك القدري القائلين بأن الحيوان هو الذي يخلق أفعال نفسه وأنها تحدث بدون مشيئة الله وقدرته وإرادته ولهذا كانوا أشباه المجوس. أشباه المجوس. He said it is of this type, the shirk of the Qadariya. Qadariya, inshallah, in the next class, بإذن الله تعالى, in the next dars, I will be shedding light more on these entities, the Qadariya, together with the opponent, you know, bid Allah Ta'ala to maximize the fighter. So I will have to stop here, inshallah, Abdurrahman, inshallah, and take some questions, then I will end the class, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Ameen. Ameen. Wa iyaakum. Yeah, because I faja'atul nas.
Yes, sir. We got a question from Sister Mimi a few days ago.
Okay.
The question says,
"Assalamu
alaikum." We discussed last time that we should only memorize from one place, meaning we can't do two separate surahs concurrently.
Shouldn't.
We shouldn't. But how about Muraja? If a person has two places of Muraja, such as he is currently doing Muraja, which is 3 and just 30.
This one, inshallah, is fine. Bidin Allah Ta'ala. memorization, this is what I was referring to. You should try your best to restrict yourself to the plan. Don't confuse yourself. You're memorizing here, you're memorizing that. But as for revision, you can revise this in the morning, for instance, and maybe you're revising the other place. That will be okay, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, inshallah. Ameen wa ilaykum.
Sheikh Qurban had asked a question regarding prayer, that if he missed two rakat in Jama'ah, does he have to recite Surah and the Mystery Fatiha? Someone recently told him that he has to recite Surah and the Mystery Fatiha.
Yes, to make it easy, Thawban, whatever you miss from the prayer, you know, the one that you miss, when you want to make it up, you should make it the last part of your prayer. The last part of your prayer. Anything you miss, you should make it the last part of your prayer. So if let's say you missed the first two rakat of Dhuhr, you know, and you catch the last two rakat of Dhuhr. So when you stand up after the salam of the imam to make up that which you miss, you just assume that you are praying alone. And now you pray the first two rakat, and now what left is the last two rakat of your prayer, as if you're praying alone. So let's say you pray in Dhuhr and you miss the first two rakat. So now you are going to complete your prayer. So you assume that you are praying alone, without having the imam, and you pray two rakat, and now two left. So those two rakat that left, you just recite Fatiha without reciting the surah alone. Get it? So whatever you miss, you make it, when you are making up, you make it as if this is the last part of your prayer, if you're praying alone. Do you get the idea? The one who tells you that you have to read the surah in the way you miss, that's an opinion said by some scholars, but this opinion is wrong. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fama fatakum fama adraktum fasallu wa ma fatakum fa'atimmu." "Fama fatakum fa'atimmu." The vast majority of the narration says fa'atimmu, complete your prayer. Complete your prayer, complete your prayer. There is another narration that says faqudhu. This narration says faqudhu, but if you go throughout the language, al-qada usually is translated in the vast majority of the meaning given to the word. Even by the approaches of the Quran, usually is meant to be acting as al-itmam. Allah says, فَقَضَهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ أَيْ أَتَمَّهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلَ. When Musa completed, you know, أَتَمَّ الْأَجَلَ. You know, so al-qada means al-itmam. You know, you rarely see the meaning of qada, you know, meaning that which we intended. It does exist, but in the vast majority of the approaches of the language, the word qada means al-itmam. So we take itmam that is mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, to believe that this is also the reference in the statement which says faqadu. To get the idea. So that's to make it easy for you. Forget about what somebody is telling you. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whatever you miss, when you are making it up, you should make it the last part of your prayer. Do you get the idea? May Allah guide us to the truth.
Question
that we thought
is
right.
Is it permissible to buy clothes or toys or books that have pictures of animals?
Shouldn't, because those images Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to have them, and they also deprive the angels to be in your house. So you're going to bring things in your house which are wrong, unless if it is necessary, like the educational book that we have nowadays, what to do. You have all types of pictures in them. If you're going, either you buy or you not buy, you know. So it's not easy for you to separate the book from those images. Those one, inshallah, there shouldn't be any problem with it. But my advice is, don't put them in the way, in the place where you sleep. Keep them in the library. Make a place where you keep the books in that place. And don't expose the pictures and the images, because the Prophet said angels are not supposed to get in a place where there is an image. Allah grant us good.
question that is just happens, like Sheikh and the Pusheri. Regarding gossip, some people detect it in both men and women, but they detest it even more when it comes to men, because apparently it's not something befitting for men. Is this approach okay, or should be differentiated between men?
Yeah, it is the same. Although you find in many cultures the one who does it at some, you know, one of the genders, but it is the same. Yeah, like writing and gossip and whatever, you know, the same. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates to see it being practiced by a woman, He hates to see it being practiced also by a man. Get the idea? Unless those things which are permissible for the brothers to do and the woman is not permissible for them. But usually in terms of action, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made permissible, impermissible, He's making it impermissible for all. You can't say that it's wrong when the sister do it and it is not wrong when the brother does it. Take an idea. But sometimes if, let's say, according to the cultural practice, the one who usually does it is this. Yeah, of course, in the eyes of the people, if they see the other gender doing, it will be so strange, you know. Like smoking. Usually the brothers do smoke. You rarely see a sister smoking, although nowadays you see also they join, you know, Allahumma staan. Yeah, so it's very strange to see in a community a sister smoking. So it's somehow the sin which is, yeah, I mean, usually committed by the brothers, you know. So you have things like that. Sometimes you see this type of sins, usually sisters does it. You rarely see a brother doing it. And this type of things, is usually you see the brothers are doing. You rarely see a sister getting involved in that. But at the same time, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sins are sins. If there is no text from the Sharia that says it is worse when you say it in this than the other one, we equate. We believe that it is equal. When the brother does it, it is just like when the sister does it. The angel will write the same sin for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq.
Horse riding also something that is limited to men.
Come again?
Horse riding is limited to men.
In the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what I know is they both are doing. But since it is the means of defense, and usually who are involved in the defense system, they are the brothers. That's why the vast majority of the mention when it comes to riding horses, they are the brothers. Otherwise, those people who are migrating, they also ride horses, they also ride camels. Yeah.
Question by Isha. Assalamu
alaikum, Shaykh. Assalamu alaikum.
Can we perform a surgical operation on our pet cats to stop them from breathing? Does this tantamount to altering Allah's creation, which is forbidden, or animal cruelty, since the cat is not sick, that we just do it for the sake of our
convenience? Well, I found some saying it's okay, but until now I don't understand. You know, until now I don't understand why they're legalizing it. This is punishment. And look for the male and keeping it. This is punishing the animals. Yani, removing something which is part of their nature, if there is no need for that, this is punishment. The castration that we do for the animal to make the the meat fresher, that's why the scholars accept it. Other than that, why does a person need to punish that animal for this? Remove them from enjoying and maximizing the benefit of their the benefit of the organs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in them. So anyway, Anamu talk, if I have some itchiness concerning giving fatwa on this matter, I will advise anyone who is intended to do it to stay away from it, not to have this approach at all.
Question by Samida. Assalamu
alaikum, Shaykh. Ameen wa fikum.
What should we do if the adhan sometimes clear, sometimes it's not?
What is?
when the Adhan, sometimes we are able to hear it, we are able to hear part of it we are not able to. So how do we go about it?
You reply to the one that you hear. The one that you don't hear, that's it. The one which comes to you, you reply. If you don't hear anything, you don't reply. Yeah, that's it, Musha.
So, can we, the missed parts, can we just say them by ourselves? Like, for example,
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha sami'tum," when you hear, then you should say what the mu'adhin is saying. So we don't complete. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Ameen wa iyyakum.
What if a person accidentally buys clothes with animal prints on it? How best to get rid of them?
Try to efface it and remove it, and try to remove at least the head, or put some chemicals to put some shade on the face, and then use it instead of throwing it away. Do something, inshallah.
Can they give it to a Muslim?
Shouldn't. Just instead of doing that, just remove the face. Or take it back to the place and take back your money, or replace it with something else.
Sister Mona is asking about sisters who go for cycling outdoors. Is it okay?
As long as it doesn't expose them in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not advise people to do, it should be fine. But going in a place where it will attract the eyes of others, then this is wrong. This is wrong. Because anything that can invite the eyes of others to a woman, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her not to do it. But riding the bicycle is okay. She can do that. There's no problem with that. Like anybody else.
So, if it's something normal in the community, then it's...
If it is not attractive, people are not going to look. People don't pay attention to... it's just normal. But doing it in the place where people will be looking, or doing it in the way where people will be looking, these are all wrong practices.
Question by Muhammad Thani. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
About tattoos, there are cultural practices from tribes too that look like tattoos. But to them, it is culture thing, or it's a sign of their culture. Is it permissible?
No. Who is asking this question, everyone? Okay. I think it's referring to what I know. Some communities, they have some designs on their face and all this. Yeah. These are not supposed to be practiced. Even if it is their culture, these are their rejected cultural practices. And those ones are permanent, they do it really permanent, Yeah.
Is it because does the tahrim come from the hair, which is women or something?
Yeah, I don't know how they do it, but it's almost exactly the same thing, because it is permanent. It really changed the creation. That person remains like this. It really changed the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way Allah designed that person, now is gone. Is somebody else.
There's a question that animals which are sacrificable, if they are castrated or neutered, changed in some way, is it permissible for us to use them as kufiyah?
Yes, inshallah. That's what some of the Sufis say, the sheep that the Prophet ﷺ slaughtered was like that. It's a controversial matter, but inshallah, there shouldn't be any problem with that, inshallah.
I think that is the last question, inshallah.
Okay, jazakumullah khairan wa ahsan fi dunya wal akhirah. Sallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala an yukrimakum fi dunya wal akhirah wa ihfadakum min kulli su'in wa makruh. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafil. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.